Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret, host, and I want to welcome you to Backyard Labrys. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Today is Wednesday, December 8th, 2010, and I just can't even believe that the year is almost over. But it's almost over, so we will be welcoming another year in a couple of weeks. So I am just so excited to be able to have done a show every week for the year. And I want to thank all my fans for hanging in there with me over the weeks as we go through discussing research that's done by so many of our very faithful historians. Tonight we are going to be discussing a matter that was brought to my attention by Dr. Joy Lumsden. And for the fans who don't know about her, Dr. Lumsden is an English-born woman who married a Jamaican man in college many years ago. She's a senior like I am. And she has dedicated her life, I think that she wrote her thesis on history, I'm not quite sure. However, I know since she's retired, she's dedicated her life on just doing research. And she gets into matters that were might seem really not important to most people, but of course people who like history and can make the connection of the importance of knowing about our past that we can have a better future. So I just get very excited when I come across some material that really interests me and hopefully will interest a lot of other people. I'm learning a lot because there are a lot of things you know in passing, but you really don't know the details of them. And I know I've been so intrigued by the details of most of the stories that I share. I call myself bringing them alive because all of the information is online and anyone can research everything that I discuss on the internet by going to Dr. Lumsden's pages or the other historians that I quote or read from, because that's mostly what I'm doing, reading from, and then I call it applying my sidebars. But over the years, the 2 years I've been doing this, I've just learned so much about me, my world, and how we are all connected as humans, regardless of where we were born, when we were born. We have so much in common in thought and how we behave. So tonight, I am going to be discussing the early Quakers. And they were called the Society of Friends in the old days. Now, something interesting happened, and one of my fans called me up to ask what I was going to be doing this week. And I mentioned that I was going to be talking about the Quakers. And she said, "Who are they?" And I said, "You know, I didn't really know a lot about them. I know about them a little because of American history. But I didn't even know that they were connected in some way, or this philosophy was connected in some way to Jamaica." And I was really, really surprised to know how deep it went. So what I want to do first is to read the explanation of how did the Quakers begin that I found online. And I think they have a special website. And it says here, in the 17th century, England was suffering the ravages of civil war. The struggle was not just for political power. It also had economic and religious causes. Christians attacked each other in violent speeches and writings, and sometimes even came to blows. At this time, many people were looking for a new way of organizing how their country was run based on religious foundations. They looked for their inspiration to the early days of the Christian church. Among these different groups were people who were to become the Quakers. One of the great religious reformers of the day was George Fox. He was born in 1624 and lived to 1691. As a young man, he went around the country trying to find a form of religious belief which made sense to him and to his understanding of the Bible. On his travels, he met many other people who were also searching. For their honesty and their refusal to compromise, Fox and his followers suffered greatly and were often imprisoned. Women as well as men spread the Quaker message throughout England, Scotland, and Wales, and overseas to Ireland, the mainland of Europe, and then to America, and in time to parts of Africa. So that is the explanation of how the Quakers began. Now, if you're on my list, you got the promo that mentioned, based on Dr. Lumsden's research, that a Quaker family of note in Jamaica in the 17th century was the Dickinsons, D-I-C-K-I-N-S-O-N, or D-I-C-K-E-N-S-O-N. And I know there might be listeners who are descendants of Jamaicans or Jamaicans themselves that have that name. And I don't know how far they might have researched their family tree, but I am wondering if they can trace it back to what we're talking about here. Now, this Dickinson family was from St. Elizabeth, or was in St. Elizabeth. The family name is still remembered today because of its involvement in the Monroe and Dickinson Trust, which still administers the two schools, Monroe College and Hampton School in St. Elizabeth. So I thought that was interesting information, because I had No idea. I don't know anyone who graduated from either of those schools. And as I always confess, I don't really know a lot about these things, and I'm really just discovering these things one article at a time. But for any of my fans out there who are perhaps Dickensons or know of someone who are graduated from this school or are now attending, you know now that they're still being administered by this trust who came from a Quaker family, or I suppose two Quaker families. Now, I told you about how did the Quakers begin, but there's another article that talks about them. They were called the Religious Society of Friends. And here, this other one part article explains it as follows. The Religious Society of Friends, commonly known as the Quakers, is a Protestant Christian tradition originating in mid-17th century England. Founded by George Fox, it adhered to religious teachings and practice that focused on living in accordance with the inward light. Fox claimed that true believers could engage the risen Lord directly through the Holy Spirit without ministers, priests, or sacraments. All are capable of experiencing the promise of Christ, enabling all to live in Christ's love. This belief influenced the position of the equality of women, a unique characteristic within Christianity in that time. Quaker meetings are often filled with silence because they are committed to waiting for God's presence in faith and patience. This religious movement was not received well in England, and they in turn were prosecuted for not going to services of the Church of England, refusing to tithe, and for going to Quaker services. While being persecuted in England, many Quakers were converting many people in America, especially in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. In fact, Pennsylvania was set up as a Quaker colony in which the state was supposed to be governed by Friends principles, including religious tolerance and pacifism. Now, historically, the Society of Friends has endorsed strong moral codes, including the refusal to participate in war, the refusal to own slaves, and the elimination of many worldly structures. Socially, they were committed to various causes, including women's suffrage, the abolition of slaves, and prison reforms. I thought that was quite interesting because I had no idea that these people were that involved in really shaping how people approached religion. And I don't really discuss politics or religion on the show. Of course, I just try to bring the facts as I see them. Now, I will just give you a couple more facts about these early friends and then go into Dr. Lumsden's connection with this organization and Jamaica. Now, early friends were persecuted in American colonies, but William Penn made Pennsylvania a refuge for fellow Quakers. He allowed complete religious tolerance, separating government from religion. This was a landmark on the way to constitutional guarantees of religious reforms. So actually, I suppose, just the reforms out of the Church of England at the time was here in America was really attributed to the Quakers. Now, during World War One, the American Friends Service Committee and its British counterpart provided ways for conscientious objectors to contribute to relief and reconstruction efforts. Still highly esteemed and active, the group was jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1947. In Quaker thought, salvation is connected to the inner light. It is a direct experience of God within, allowing the Quaker to live out God's salvation, which was manifest in the life of Jesus Christ. So that's really putting it into a capsule what the Quaker, or at least the original Quakers, really believed. The Quaker social ethic is firmly rooted in the belief that the inner light is in all people, because every person possessed a part of God. Quakers have consistently stood for nonviolence and the equality of all people. I just thought I would share that with you before I go into, and for my friends that didn't really know the depth of what a Quaker is, I hope that answered the question. It certainly did for me, because I certainly didn't really know. It sounds to me like they were perhaps the first people that you would think be in New Thought, as it's called now, or metaphysics, because I think there's a connection there somehow. So let's talk about Dr. Lumsden. Let me just pause for a minute to remind our listeners to be listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So with that said, I'd like to tell my listeners on the board, I see we have quite a few this evening, that whenever you want, remember this is a Labrish, so whenever you want to put in your sidebar or your 2 cents or whatever you call your statement, just hit one on your hand, and I'll be happy to open up the mic to you. This is not like a formal discussion. This is a Labrish. And for people who know what a Labrish is, it's usually a very casual conversation about a subject that with people of like minds. So that's what we're doing here tonight. I gather that people on the board and that come by, and I usually have a few listeners online, and again, I apologize for not being able to interact with you. But if you look on the where you are listening from, Blog Talk Radio has the call-in number, and you're welcome to call in and put in your 2 cents or join the Labrish. Now, Dr. Lumsden, bless her heart, she has just pages and pages and pages of some real, real neat material. And she gets her inspiration, I suppose, by just hearing something or reading something, and then she starts her research to put things together. So she quotes from letters that she has found, things in the newspaper, just all sorts of neat connections that she makes. But here on her pages, I find the autobiography of George Fox. Thank God he wrote about himself. And when he was 2 years in America, he was writing, I suppose, about that period. This is what he said. We had a quick and easy passage to Jamaica, where we met again with friends. And he has the name James Lancaster and John Cartwright and George Patterson. I know that those names are popular in Jamaica, who had been laboring there in the service of truth, into which we forthwith entered with them, traveling up and down through the island, which is large, and a brave country it is, though the people are, many of them, wicked. I thought that was funny. I want to also share with my readers just my passion for reading the old English, as I know we used to call it when I was in school, because how they language and put together their words were sort of strange at times, and the words they used to describe certain events, and as I say, how they paired the words together. So most of this, I think, would be what I would consider old English. He went on to say, we had much service. There was a great convincement, and many received the truth, some of whom were people of account in the world. We have many meetings there, which were large and very quiet. The people were civil to us, so that not a mouth was opened against us. I was twice with the governor and some other magistrates who all carried themselves kindly towards me. Isn't that something? And if any of our listeners want to comment on this style of writing, please put your hands up, because I'm telling you, I find this very fascinating. So he's describing his interaction with the people on the island then at the time. And apparently there were some Quakers here already, because those are who he referred to as friends. About a week after we landed in Jamaica, Elizabeth Houghton, H-O-O-T-O-N, a woman of great age who had traveled much in the truth's service and suffered much for it, departed this life. She was well the day before she died, and departed in peace like a lamb, bearing testimony to truth at her departure. Now, what I gather from that sidebar here is that she was talking right before she passed away. I don't know if anybody agreed with me, but that's the story this tells me, and that she suffered for the truth, because remember, they were being persecuted at that time. Now, back to his letter. When we had been about 7 weeks in Jamaica, had brought friends into pretty good order and settled several meetings amongst them, we left Solomon E-C-C-L-E-S there. That's the name of the man, Elise, E-C-C-L-E-S. The rest of us embarked for Maryland, leaving friends and truth prosperous in Jamaica, the Lord's power being over all and his blessings seed reigning. Now, one of Fox's companions who wrote of their stay in Jamaica, this is what he said. He's William Edmondson. When we were clear in our service, we took shipping for Jamaica, mainly George Fox, Robert Widler, Solomon, same name, E-C-C-L-E-S, Elizabeth Houghton, and I. Oh, that's the woman who died. Being about 10 days at sea, we landed at Port Royal in Jamaica. We traveled much in that island and had good service in gathering people to the Lord Jesus Christ and settling meetings among them. James Lancaster and I traveled over that called Mount Diablo to the north side of the island, where the people received us gladly and came to meetings. Several were convinced and received the truth. We settled a meeting there for the worship of God. I think when he means settled, I suppose started. After some time of labor in the gospel of Christ, having finished our service in that island, we committed them to the Lord's keeping and took shipping for Maryland. But Elizabeth Houghton died in Jamaica. Being an ancient woman, we left Solomon Eccles, same name, E-C-C-L-E-S, there in truth service. Sorry, and the rest of us shipped with George Fox for Maryland. So now we get a little glimpse that quite a few of them came on a ship together. And this old lady, this Elizabeth Houghton, was one of them. And I like how they describe her as being ancient. So I suppose that means a senior, perhaps my age. Not quite. Anyway, I am open for some comments on the board before I go to the rest of Dr. Lumsden article. And I really know that some of the names that I've called, they might not be spelt exactly the way they were documented here, because she's quoting from actual documentation from the autobiography and letters from these people. And I'm saying that to say how here again, we're talking about one man who was, I suppose, not content with what was going on in the Church of England at the time and decided that it was not for him and he was going to find some more people who felt the same way. And it brings me back to when we did how the Salvation Army got started. And it was the same thing. This Englishman did not think that the Church of England was being kind to the harlots and drunkards when they tried to come to church, because they didn't want them they were smelly and, you know, not appropriately dressed and blah, blah, blah. And that's what sort of triggered the idea of him taking his religion to the street. So here we have someone departing from the Church of England again with thoughts, what we would call new thoughts, about Christ and God and his relationship to his Christ and his God. And it didn't sort of fit in with what the Church of England was preaching at the time. And this is 16 whatever, and here, even now to this day, people are being persecuted for their religion. I'm just saying that to say that how we have evolved so much, but some things still have not changed. Quite interesting. I just get really carried away sometimes when I read these things that go back so far, and I must confess that I always sort of had a little inclination that I liked history, but it was very boring to me when I was, I think, younger, and I really didn't have the patience, or I didn't have the smarts to comprehend it. I don't know what it was. But now I don't know that I'm comprehending it any better, but I know that I'm very intrigued by it, just very, very intrigued by it. Because as I research and read about these people, I mean, it really speaks to what I'm trying to do here on Blog Talk Radio, and that is leave a living legacy. And I encourage my listeners to think about all these stories as they listen to them, and think about writing their own life, writing about their own life so somebody else don't have to put it together. Because as individuals, we just have new, unique thoughts. We have sometimes unique behaviors, you know, little things that we do that is different from anybody else. And we don't think it's important to our family. But I know that you'll hear people say, you know, he walks just like his uncle, or he talks just like his uncle. But nobody know who the uncle is. And sometimes the person who's saying that departs before this kid or person who walks like his uncle even know about that. So I'm just saying that to encourage you, whoever my fans are. I know some of you. I don't know everybody. But I hope that you will pass this message along if you're a young person. Ask your old people for some of their stories. And again, I will say that the best place to have your story told is in cyberspace. Because there, it seems like it will live forever. It will always be there. Now, let me get back. I don't see any hands. So I'm going to go back to Dr. Lumsden's research about all these people writing about what happened when they visited Jamaica. Now, this is from the Journal of Life of William Edmondson. And afterwards, by these friends, we understood that William Edmondson, having been in Rhode Island and New England, was gone hence for in Ireland, that Solomon Eccles, E-C-C-L-E-S again, coming from Jamaica and landing at Boston in New England, was taken at a meeting there and banished to Barbados. And St. John Stubbs and another friend was gone into New Jersey, and several other friends to Barbados, Jamaica, and the Leeward Islands. It was matter of joy to us to understand that the work of the Lord went on and prospered, and that friends were unwearied and diligent in the service. And that is from Fox Autobiography. Remember now, Fox is the guy who started it all. So apparently he had all of these disciples, and he would send them off to different places. But that is when he had the power to do that. Because there is another article that talks about the Quakers that were sent to Jamaica as prisoners. They were sent as prisoners because they didn't pay taxes, or they wouldn't go to war, you know, for the king. And they were really persecuted harshly. Their properties were confiscated. And one article states that they sent them to Jamaica as prisoners. Now, here I'm back to Dr. Lumsden's articles. Colonel Edward O'Leary, O-Y-L-E, no, I can't pronounce it. It's D apostrophe O-Y-L-E-Y, who was in charge in Jamaica for most of the period from the conquest under Oliver Cromwell in 1655 to the restoration of Charles II in 1660, had the unbearable task of organizing the new colony and trying to establish a settler population. Among the early settlers were people known as Quakers, and he knew nothing about them. So he wrote to Cromwell's Secretary of State, expressing his concern and his desire to do what his superiors wanted. Now, this is what he wrote. There are some people lately come hither called Quakers who have brought letters of credit and do disburse books among us. Now, by education and judgment, prompting me to an owning of all that pretend anyway to godliness and righteousness, whereof these people have a very great appearance, and the prince telling me that the heads of their people are contriving against the government and accounted conspirators against his highness. So the books calls them, and humbly seek your honor's direction that my carriage is being tender to them, who are people of unbearable life, and to whose acting I am a stranger, may not procure blame for him in whose service I am, being desirous to steer my course to the interests I serve, and to appear very heartily and clearly his highness' faithful subject. In other words, what I think he was saying is that these people are here doing their thing, and I don't want to be responsible for their actions. So count me out. I thought, talk about passing the buck. It's been going on for a long time. Clearly, O'Leary, or whoever, whatever he's called, accepted that the Quakers were godly folk, but was not sure whether or not they were also dangerous subversives. Some friends from Barbados fled to Jamaica in 1658, having refused to pay rates and serve in the military there. So, you know, they were shipping them to Jamaica because it was more friendly, I suppose, to their cause. At one point, they were sending them as prisoners, and now they're sending them, they're fleeing there because I suppose the administration there was more friendly to them. Now, in 1662, two Quaker ministers, Anne Robinson, that's a female, and Oswell Heritage, preached the Quaker message in the island. Lord Windsor, the governor, and the council promised the right to gather in meetings for freedom in matters of conscience to all who paid their taxes and contributed financially to the defense of the island, even if they would not bear arms themselves. So here we have, Barbados was a British colony at the time, but apparently he didn't think like this man in Jamaica did, because he said as long as they pay their taxes, you know, they could gather and do whatever, worship in whatever way they wanted to. So it just shows you how people can be serving the same, I suppose, government, but they have different ideas of how to administer whatever they were administering. And, of course, this is just my interpretation of these readings, but that sort of makes sense to me. Now, in 1664, however, a very eccentric Quaker, who was John Perrott, P-E-R-R-O-T-T, caused an uproar over his theological ideas. "I am getting a book on this strange man," this is what she's saying, "so maybe I can give more information on this episode." Now, he appeared to have died in Jamaica. One of his earliest projects had been to go to Rome in an attempt to convert the Pope to his theological views. So even then you had people with real, way out, crazy ideas, because his plan was to go to Rome and convert the Pope. The Quakers continued to have problems because of their refusal to serve in the military and as sworn jurors. Quakers continued to settle in Jamaica, though the item below shows that at least some of them were transported to the island to serve seven-year sentences, presumably for refusal to comply with religious and military regulations in England. So they would ship them from England to Jamaica, and they would have to serve 7 years. Now, I'm asking anybody on the board to join the Labrish, please. And I want to mention again that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I'm always asking if you will, there's a particular subject you would like us to labrish about, do let me know. If there are anyone that has positive memories of Jamaica, and I mean not necessarily positive memories, just the memories of Jamaica, growing up in Jamaica before independence, there's not a lot of information on, there's a lot of information about what happened at certain times, but not really on how we grew up and the different things that were going on in Jamaica during my time. And that's one of the reasons I'm always anxious to have as my guests anyone who would like to share some special stories, or if they can contribute to what we're talking about in some way, because they might have some more information I'd be more than happy to have you join the Labrish. Also, Dr. Lumsden is always asking for people that may have some information that connects to anything that she's writing about to be sure to get in touch with her. So, do I have any hands on the board yet? No, I don't see anyone putting up their hands, so I suppose you enjoy my babbling here and reading about all these people from way back, long before my time. Now in March of 1665, God, that sounds like a long time, here it says, whereas His Majesty hath appointed several masters of ships to carry some of the Quakers now remarrying in Newgate at a prison in London, they are to be transported to His Majesty's plantations according to the list hereto affixed. It was this day ordered by His Majesty in council that the Lord Chief Justice of the King bench do forthwith give direction to the sheriffs of London to cause the respective numbers of the said Quaker adjudged to be transported to be forthwith delivered on board the said several ships, taking a recognizable under the hands of the receptive masters of the safe custody of the said Quakers and delivery of them to the governors of the several plantations where they are bound. But it's not where, it's W-H-E-T-H-E-R, they are bound. So you see how they wrote strange in those days. And it has a list of the names of the people who were sent to Jamaica to serve on the plantations. Now, what it doesn't say is whether they were enslaved. It just says to serve. Very, very interesting. Now, Lord Vaughan proclaimed the Act of Indulgence in Jamaica in 1675, which provided some relief to dissidents in relation to freedom of worship. This letter from Francis Crowe, a Church of England clergyman who had been ejected from his parish in England because he did not accept the teachings of the church after Charles II's restoration. It shows the strength of the Quakers in Port Royal before the earthquake. So what the article really says, to put it in, short, it that most of these Quakers settled in Port Royal before the earthquake. Now, here is another letter, and she takes all these from biographies, autobiographies, or letters, articles, and sort of piece things together to come up with something that can connect what she's talking about to Jamaica, because Dr. Lumsden is mostly researching, and her research is really diverse. She does plants, animals, people, events, I mean, just all over the place. And she's working on sometimes all of them simultaneously. Or there are some that, don't have as much material as others. But I am just amazed at how busy this woman is and how passionate she is about her work. So I hope that one of these days, I don't know if she listens to the show, she is on my mailing list, and I usually send her the promo every week, and I'm hoping that one of these days she will surprise us, and I know she resides in Jamaica, she will surprise us and perhaps be on one of the calls. But I don't know if anyone on the board is just as intrigued as I am, but I am always so intrigued with, you know, all the things that she pieces together. And I'm also surprised how they really connect, because I know that I know that I can connect. I know people with some of these names that I've talked about. And they must be, you know, some connection someplace, because these people were the early settlers on the island. Okay, so here is when they're going to get a little, I suppose, respect from the government. It says here, whereas there is nothing known here but a form of preaching on the Lord's Day, and many that go on in the common road of public formality may be said to be as dead and senseless here as almost anywhere else. And the people dissatisfied with this have turned Quakers. Our liberties are like to be as long-lived as in any of the king's plantation, for indeed they can hardly be taken away without apparent danger, if not ruin to the island, considering the multitude of Jews upon the point. And in parenthesis, it says Port Royal. Apparently, that's how they refer to it, as the point. And the many Quakers there, both here and in the country plantations. So in that period, there were really a lot of Quakers there. And it doesn't say, if I don't remember the slave dates, but we're talking 16-something now. As these lists shows, Quakers are members of the Society of Friends, like members of all religious groups except the Church of England, suffered restrictions in their civil rights and varying levels of harassment. This was so in England in the 17th and 18th centuries, and likewise in English colonies. The punishments listed were chiefly seizures of property, often extraordinary property values to cover fines. It is interesting to note that in 1687, a Quaker was subjected to the military punishment of riding the wooden horse, which was for a form of punishment that they administered in those days, where people were put on a literal wooden horse and weights put on their legs, and they were subjected to a whole lot of things. Because it says here in some of the notes I read, that in Jamaica, one man was put on the wooden horse as punishment, and he fell. And apparently he couldn't walk again for the rest of his life. But you should see how they describe it. You know, he was the same forever or till death. Real English writing. But that's what they would do if people didn't pay their taxes or, you know, wouldn't serve in the military or was against the Church of England. But I want to now ask anyone on the board again to join the Labrish when you want by hitting 1 on your telephone. That would let me know that you are holding up your hands like you were in school and you will want to join the Labrish. A Labrish is supposed to be a conversation, and I think I'm just reading. So come on, chat with me. Now, here is a list of, let me just tell you a little bit about the wooden horse. As I mentioned to you, it was a form of punishment. No, I read that already, but let me tell you now about what one of the writers, Peter Dashwood, he refused to bear arms and was summoned to a court-martial. And he was the one that was sentenced to ride the wooden horse. He had a musket put on each leg for 1 hour. This punishment was twice inflicted on him. And the latter time, which is the 12th to the 6th month, in 1687 this was, the horse's leg being struck away, he received a dangerous fall, by means of which he was same for some time after. Ah, brother, a Jamaica Quaker wrote home 2 weeks after the earthquake. Now, this has nothing to do with the wooden horse. I just have it running together. But after the earthquake in Port Royal, a Quaker brother wrote home, "Ah, brother, if thou didst see these great persons that are now dead upon the water, thou would never forget it. Great men who were so swallowed up with pride that a man could not be admitted to speak with them, and women whose top knots seemed to reach the clouds, now lie sinking into the water and are made meat for fish and fowl for the air." Now, you know, that man writing about that didn't like those people. Hear how he's describing them. Oh, my goodness. I mean, of course, we have different words now that we call people we don't like, right? But in the old days, that's what they said. Ooh, great men who are so swallowed up with pride, that means they think a lot of themselves, that a man could not be admitted to speak with them. Which leads me to believe he's talking about people who were unapproachable, and women whose top knots, K-N-O-T-S, seems to reach the clouds. I suppose it's with their nose in the air. Now lie sinking into the water. Wow. Now another one wrote to somebody, "Loving brother, the window..." That was the quote I just meant about the knot on the men is one Quaker writing to another Quaker. Now, the Quakers, who are usually accurate in their claims, listed 38 dead out of their community of about 60 in Port Royal after the earthquake. Others died later of epidemic that spread after the disaster. And this is what it was they mentioned. "The Lord hath a very great controversy with this island," Joseph Norris said to his brother Isaac in 1692. Now, a Quaker family which suffered severely from the earthquake was that of Thomas Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S, or it could be spelled N-O-R-R-I-C-E, who had been a member of the Society of Friends from its early days. Thomas was a London merchant who immigrated to Jamaica in 1678. His son Isaac, age about 21, was in Philadelphia in 1692 on business connected with the growing trade between Jamaica and Pennsylvania when the earthquake struck. Thomas Norris died in the earthquake. Now, and when Isaac returned to Port Royal, he buried his brother and sister, who died in the aftermath of the disaster. In 1693, Isaac decided to take the 100 pounds, which was all that was left from his father's business, and return to Philadelphia, where he became one of the city's wealthiest merchants and a prosperous public figure. So here's my point. This Mr. What was his name again? Thomas. He got his start from the money he collected in Jamaica after his father, his brother, and sister died. And I suppose his father died too, because they said the 100 pounds came from his father's business, and he returned to Philadelphia because he was in Philadelphia when the earthquake struck with his 100 pounds. and became one of the wealthiest merchants and a prominent public figure in Philadelphia. Oh, boy. It is important to note at this time, Quakers were still slave owners and slave traders like members of the other Christian denominations. There are a number of references to issues in Barbados over the Quakers bringing their slaves into their worship, but so far no references to this practice in Jamaica have come to hand. This is Dr. Lumsden writing. Quakers are certainly involved in trading slaves between the Caribbean and North America, and both Jonathan Dickinson's, of whom more is known, and Isaac Norris are noted as trading in slaves. Norris is reported to have written, "I don't like that kind of business, but like many of his fellow Quakers, he did not pursue the logic of his religious beliefs." However, in 1711, the Quakers and the Pennsylvania yearly, at their Pennsylvania yearly meeting, persuaded the legislature in Pennsylvania to ban the slave trade. But the British government of Queen Anne vetoed the law. It was only in the 1760s that the ongoing protest and opposition to slavery and the slave trade by individual Quakers and Quaker meetings led to meetings in Britain and America coming out firmly against these evils and obliging members of the Society of Friends to make a choice between their religious faith and their commercial activities. By the beginning of the 18th century, it is said that in Jamaica alone, there were nearly 10,000 followers of the Quaker faith. And with that, there's a lot more information on all of this. And I really encourage my listeners that are intrigued with all of these stories to, you know, just get more details. I just try to skim through it to sort of put it, it's a lot of material, to put it in like a story-like form. But the points I'm getting from all of this is that, you know, a lot of this, I don't know for anybody else, but I was not familiar with the Quakers' contribution to, you know, having slavery abolished, even though they were slave owners themselves. So they know about persecution and harassment and, you know, things like that. But it's really interesting to see how even now in these times that we're living, there's still religious persecution, you know, going on all over the world, you know, or in some parts of the world. And not only that, but even within developed countries, there is discrimination between people of certain, or distrust between people of certain religion and other religions, that this one is right, that one is wrong, or whatever, you know. But it's interesting to know how so much has changed, but there's quite a few things that remain the same. And with that said, I am going to ask again for the leaders on the board, what the listeners on the board that would may like to interact with me at this point. We've gone an hour already, believe it or not. But what I really get from all of this is, as tiny as Jamaica is, we have contributed in one way or another in so many various forms of development all over the world. All over the world. I mean, in different industries, in different disciplines, we have done so many interesting stories of Jamaicans. I remember one that is getting a lot of hits now is the Jamaican born who went to who was caught up in the Russian situation and was actually kept there for a long time. I think it was Black on Red or Black in Red that his book is called. He actually wrote a book. And I am just always so mesmerized by the time we you know, just Jamaica has been so important. So very, every place is important. But, I mean, we've played so many different roles in the world as a whole. Now, here's something else I'll just throw in before we get off the air. Now, in the history of the Diocese of Jamaica, Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, quotes from a letter written in 1738, chiefly about the problems of the church, which mentions in passing the Quaker meeting in Kingston. And through religions of all Christian sects are, though religions of all Christian sects are tolerated, the Church of England is in the chief established, and the clergy are better provided for than at home, except, this is what he's writing about, except in dignitaries or power of ECCLESTIASTIACAL courts. I don't know how to pronounce that quickly, but apparently some power that the court has. At Kingston, it is a Quaker. No. At Kingston is a large congregation where may be seen from 14 to 20 coaches and chariots every Sunday. The Quakers have also a meeting there. So, in other words, he was writing about his church, which must have been the Church of England, and he's just mentioning that they have 14 to 20 coaches and chariots every Sunday, and the Quakers also have a meeting. So I thought that was sort of interesting how he just throws them in right there. Now, the Quakers worked at freeing slaves and became the first Western organization in history to ban slaveholding. They also created societies to promote the emancipation of slaves. From the efforts of the Quakers, Ben Franklin and John Jefferson were able to convince the Congress to ban the importation of slaves into America as of December 1, 1775. Pennsylvania was the strongest anti-slave state at the time, and with Franklin's help, they led the Pennsylvania Society of Promoting the Abolition of Slavery, the Relief of Free Negroes Unlawfully Held in Bondage, and for Improving the Conditions of the African Race. In November of 1775, Virginia's former royal governor claimed that all slaves would be free if they were willing to fight for Great Britain. This subsequently forced George Washington to allow slaves in the colonies to enlist as well, so that they all did not try to run away and fight in Great Britain to get their freedom. Because George Washington passed this law, about 5,000 African Americans served for the Constitutional Forces and gained their freedom when they were done with their service. By 1792, states from Massachusetts to Virginia all had similar anti-slave groups. From 1780 to 1804, slavery was largely abolished in all of New England, the Middle Atlantic states, and the Northwest Territories. So we know that the Quakers and those who became involved in helping to right a wrong it was really something that is documented, and I never really know much about. Incidentally, you know, Nixon was a Quaker. It mentioned someplace in one of these articles that two presidents, I mean, that we would be familiar with, and Nixon was one of them. Now, are there any Quakers on the line or people familiar with the, and the organization of Friends is alive and well, because I also went to their website and they had a nice video about, I think they mentioned that there are about 300,000 of them here in the United States. And they're different sects. They broke off into different, I mean, Andrew Fox started it, but, you know, as it evolved, like anything else, you know, there's always people that want to do it their way and do their own thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose. But they're within the Society of Friends, they have different ways of that they operate now. And most of them, from what I read currently, they have meeting houses, but they're not like a church. They just get together. Silence is a very important part of their meeting, and there is nobody that sort of is in charge per se, and they recognize the God in everybody, and everybody has a right to find their spirituality at the time that they find their spirituality. And it's really interesting. I found it quite interesting and very similar to the New Thought movement, that's what it's called now, our metaphysics, that which would be like Christian Science and Science of Mind and Unity and that kind of concept. But I found it very, very interesting. I didn't know, you know, that the Quakers' belief sort of was similar to that of the New Thought movement now. So is there anyone on the board that have any information about the Quakers? Or any of the names that I might have mentioned that came up to Jamaica or were involved in Jamaica at the time, because I know something went on, because some of those names are quite familiar, might not be spelt the same way. But I see a raised hand, so I'm going to open the mic to 646-479. Good evening. You have Margaret in the backyard. Who am I speaking with?
In the Bronx.
Oh, welcome. How are you?
Okay. I just wanted to make an observation, and that would be that it's important to note that, I'm speaking as a Roman Catholic, and especially in those early days, Roman Catholics banned secret societies as well as not so secret religious societies, Quakers being one of them.
Right.
You're
familiar with whole thing.
I'm familiar with Quakers, but we were not supposed to get too involved with their beliefs and what they stood for.
Right. Control.
So that you sort of alluded to a similar deal with the Anglicans or Episcopalians, who espoused the same principles as the Catholics, except of course they don't recognize the Pope as the head of the Church, but basically they would frown on these societies.
Right, but it's interesting because this William Penn wrote not only his autobiography, but he wrote some books. One is called Truth Exalted, and it was short but sure testimony against all religions, of course, except what his new thought is Quakerism. He had a stringent attack on the Trinity and his branding. He branded the Catholic Church as, are you ready for this? The whore of Babylon. I thought that was really deep and strong.
That's kind of strident, but of course they didn't believe in the Trinity.
Right, right.
That's the basis for our religion. So therefore, there is we're at loggerheads right at the get-go.
Right. And he called the Puritans hypocrites and revelers in God. And, of course, you know, I thought that was quite deep. He was imprisoned, you know, in several times and accused of blasphemy and all of that stuff. But he said here, my prison shall be my grave before I will budge a jot, for I owe my conscience to no mortal man. So he was quite a writer and quite eloquent. But I don't know about you, but I am so intrigued at the old English writing, you know, how they would describe things.
Yeah.
And you can figure it out, but it's so way out there. But anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed I see that there are quite a few callers on the board. Nobody's putting up their hand, but we have calls from 301, area code 973-631, 404, and 954. Anyway, I want to welcome again everybody. Welcome the people listening online. And, Leah, I just want to thank you so much for being my loyal listener and interacting with me, because you get lonely in the backyard. Although the chairs are filled, I see all the easy chairs filled with people relaxing with the trade winds blowing across their face and eating a mango or something. But they're so relaxed.
You must have a lot of Catholics in the chairs sitting around there.
That's possible. Well, remember now, don't take this personal. And, you know, facts are just facts, whether you agree with them or not.
I'm just here
to bring out the facts.
it's not a point of, you know, contention, but it's just...
Right, right. It's just what happened then and how it relates, you know, to humans on a whole, and how we think, how we behave. And my whole point, though, is how when people have an idea or a passion, you know, it can start with one person, but see how it evolves. Look how it evolved. You know, as I mentioned, when we discuss the Salvation Army and many other people that I've featured on the, you know, I've brought alive, as I call it, that if you, the people that get passionate about anything, whether it's positive or negative, you know, you can really get a following. Because here was this one man alone who figured, well, you know, this Church of England thing not working for me. So let me see if there's anybody else out there who's not working for. And before you know it, even in the days when women were not allowed to be seen or heard, the Quakers were instrumental in getting women's rights too. You know, so as a woman, I know I owe a bit to them, because it perhaps would not have happened when it happened if they didn't started it. So, you know, I just find all of this information very relevant to know. Because, you know, we have so many issues, although we have evolved and come a long way, baby, and we have different avenues of getting things done. But, you know, when people have an idea or a passion about getting things done, they need to get it done. because anything is possible if you really put your shoulders to the wheel and do what you want to do. Here I am, you know, a senior, just with an idea that I want to do something that was a little different about my culture that I love and want to celebrate. And before you know it, you know, it's been 2 years, Lay, already. You know, it's 2 years.
Yeah.
And here we are, just striding right along. And apparently people are sending out the link because people are going to the archived shows and listening to them. And incidentally, our show on the birds of Jamaica getting a lot of hates. Apparently there are a lot of bird watchers and bird lovers. And we, I know I stumbled through some of the names because I'm a bird lover but not a bird watcher. So I was not quite familiar with all that was going on. But I hope that our listeners will give me some ideas of what they would like us to lavish about and that they will participate by holding up their hands. I still love everybody, and I'm very grateful that you're here with me throughout the whole show. I thank you, really, really thank you for your support. And with that said, I know everybody's getting ready for the holidays. We're going to be featuring some old-time Christmas ideas and memories. So if anybody out there has some ideas about Christmas that they would like me to share on the radio for the world to know what used to happen when we were growing up in Jamaica before independence. I grew up and left Jamaica long before independence, like you did, my loyal listener from the Bronx, but we still feel so connected in some way, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right. So I am putting out an appeal. You can go to the website. We are at www.backyardlabrish.com, and that's spelled L-A-B-R-I-S-H. Just like it sounds, and let us know what you'd like us to discuss. I'll perhaps send out a survey one day and get a better idea. I just tend to pick things that just sort of tweak my interests. And I want to thank Dr. Joy Lumsden again for her dedicated work and hope that one day she will join us. And with that said, Mr. Listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, and all my listeners on the board, I want to say good night. Thank you for listening, and hope you'll be back next week when we will come up with hopefully a very interesting subject. So do send the link around to your friends that might have an interest in history and ask them to check out Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. So,
and
Nikki,
happy,
in my city. Beg your pardon?
Happy Mother's Day to all your Latin American listeners.
Oh, it's Mother's Day in Latin America?
Yes.
Wow, wonderful. So if there are any Latin American listeners, I say Happy Mother's Day too.
Right.
Okay, with that said, now you have to join me in this, Lay. I will say again that we're here each Wednesday where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica.
Land we
love. Good night. See you next week.
Good night.